Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Most everything in this world changes. Most everything changes. People change. You ever thought about that? People change. You ever walked up on somebody you knew, maybe in the 8th grade or the 10th grade or some of you, but however old, and now you look at him and say, wow, that's her? Wow, that's him? Wow, never thought that. Amen. There's some purposes that change. A lot of people have purposes in life, and 20, 30 years later, you'll meet them, and their whole purpose is different than what it was when they were younger. Denominations. I got thinking about this the other day. Denominations change. All the major denominations of Christianity start out very well, and have declined into apostasy, gone into unbelief. Even their universities that good Bible-believing Christians sacrificed and gave and gave money to and time and talent to and built great churches and built great universities and seminaries, those things have all changed. And you'd be fortunate to find one in them at all that was still what it used to be. Churches change. Churches, maybe you got saved in. Maybe you grew up in a particular church or denomination, and it was a wonderful place to be, you know, and now apostasy has set in, and liberalism has set in, and unbelief has set in. And it's not really even a church, much less the church that you knew when you grew up in it. Denominations change. Churches change. People change. This whole world changes. This whole world changes. Everything in the world changes. Daily it changes. And daily nations are being overturned, and great rulers are being defeated, and great nations are falling. Nations. Our nation has changed. I was born in 1954, so there on the end of the 50s and then through the 60s and into the 70s, I grew up. And now I can look back at the beginning, and it's nothing like it was then. Nothing like it was then. I was in the minority. I grew up in an unchristian home. We didn't know Christ, and we didn't practice any kind of religion at all. And then that kind of home I grew up in, and we were about 10% of the population in America then. Unbelievers were about 10% of the population. We didn't go to church, and most people went to church. And now look at it, about to be 64 years later, and it's completely flipped. And about 10% are believers, and 10% go to church, and 10% profess true Bible Christianity, and 90% do not go to church, and they do not profess biblical Christianity. Even the ones that do go, a lot of them don't profess it. The world changes. Places change. Places change. You can't go back. You can't go back to your childhood. That home, in a lot of our cases, has fallen in. Old home place has deteriorated and fallen in. In some cases, it's not even there anymore. Where there were fields, now they're trees. Or maybe where there were trees, now they're fields. Where there was great populations, now some of them are sparsely populated. I'm talking about where we grew up, a lot of us where we grew up. If you grew up in Buffalo, South Carolina, most of you don't even know where that's at. They had one cotton mill, now it's shut down, and that town's a ghost town. Great Falls, South Carolina, used to be a booming little town, and now the mills are gone, and it's a ghost town. The only thing that saved Rock Hill was being so close to Charlotte and the industry that replaced the textile industry. Places change. Places change. You can't go back to your old home place. It's not there. I mean, if you're very old, it's not there. Those people are not there. Those places are not there. Y'all still with me? Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. Amen? I look in the mirror sometimes and I see this old man. And I think, that's you? That's not. I got pictures of that smiling little boy in the second grade. And he's full of life, and sometimes I wake up. I think I feel like I'm 18. Yeah. But then I get up. Oh, Lord help! I used to get up and say, "Good morning, Lord." Now I get up and say, "Good Lord, this morning." Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. Nothing stays the same. I don't care what you say. Some of you young people, you think it's going to be the way you are right now forever. It's going to change. You think you'll have those same friends. You're not even going to remember some of them's names later on. You think your family's always going to be just the way it is. And 20 years from now, a lot of that family won't even exist anymore. You better love what you've got while you got it. Amen? Amen. You better enjoy what you have while you have it. Amen? Because things change. The only thing that's sure in this creation of all creation is Jesus Christ, the changeless Christ. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. The Lord doesn't change. He's an eternal being. He was the way He is before the world was ever created. And He is the way He is while the world's here. And when the world melts with a fervent heat and the heavens roll back like a scroll, He will still be Lord exactly the way He is right now. Nothing can change it. Doesn't matter what the Muslims say. Doesn't matter what the atheists or the liberals say. He is the changeless, never changing Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen? And so I'm happy to say that my Savior, Jesus Christ, never does change. Now that'll make you happy. Amen? I mean, you don't ever know what's going to happen. Your friends may desert you tomorrow. Your husband, your wife may desert you tomorrow. Your children may turn their back on you tomorrow. You may lose your job, lose your health, lose everything you have in one day like old Job. But the Lord, your Savior, if you know Him as your Savior, will never change. He'll still be there just like He loved you on that first day. He will love you through all eternity. No matter what else changes, He will remain the same. Amen? Amen. My wife and I had our 44th, help me. Huh? 43rd, I get that confused. 43rd. And I told her we were taking that day trip down to Sherrall the other day on our little anniversary trip. Beautiful country going down there. And I put my hand over there, I said, you know, when I saw you, I loved you when I first saw you. What did you think about me when you first saw me? It got real quiet for a long time. And I'm not going to tell you what it said because it ain't none of your business. She said, well, there's no kid. No. But over the years, we all change. Amen? And I hope it's for the better. By the grace of God, He has changed some of us for the better. Amen. Not to change is going to be for the bitter. Amen? Thank God He rescued us. Amen. Thank God He gave us a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, a new life, a new home. Hey, everything's new. We're new creatures in Christ. Thank God. That will never change because that is all about Him, not about us. That's an eternal thing, not a temporary thing. Our life in Christ is eternal. It will never change. He will love you just as much 30 years after He saved you as the day He did when He saved you. Amen? He changes not. You will be just as saved 50 years from now, if you're young enough. You will be just as saved 30 years from now, or 20 years from now, or 10 years from now, or next week, as you were saved the first day that you accepted Him as your Savior. Your salvation will never change because, see, it's in Him. It's not in you. If you start putting it on you, you're going to be pitiful. Because you're going to change and you're going to mess up and you're going to make dumb mistakes and you're going to sin on purpose sometimes. You're going to mess up, and thank God my eternal salvation does not depend on me. It does not change because it's Him, not me.
Amen.
Amen. If you ever get that settled, you'll know you're saved. The Apostle Paul told him one day, he said, there's some things you need to settle, and your salvation in Him is what you need to settle most of all. It's in Him, not you. He changes not. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Turn there if you will real quick. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. 1 Corinthians 1:24, he says this, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." He said, now we preach Jesus Christ. He said, now we preach it to the Jew and the Gentile. But it's the wisdom of God is what He has, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ's wisdom is changeless. There's nothing else He has to learn. Did you hear that?
Amen.
There's nothing that Jesus has to learn. I have things learned. My wisdom is not complete. Your wisdom is not complete. And all you little punks that think you're the smartest guy in the house, let me tell you something. Your wisdom's a long way from complete.
Come on now.
Amen? Mark Twain said, nail them in a box when they turn 12 and don't let them out till they're 25 because they lose their mind. Your wisdom's not complete. My wisdom's not complete. But Jesus Christ's wisdom is 100% complete. There's nothing else He needs to know. Because He is wisdom. He's the foundation of wisdom. He is wisdom. Amen? When you read the book of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom. You stamp His name right there, Jesus Christ. Amen? And His wisdom will never change. Not like worldly wisdom. There is such things called worldly wisdom. Now, worldly wisdom is going to change with the fads. It's going to change with the moments. It's going to change with the opinions. It's going to change with the population. It's going to change with whichever way the wind's blowing. And those people think they're wise, they're going to pronounce that as wisdom. But it'll change. It'll change with circumstances. Amen? But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His wisdom never changes. You get hold of His wisdom, you won't have to send up a flag or wet your finger to decide which way the wind's blowing or take an opinion poll. All you got to do is say, Jesus said it, that settles it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen? I saw a bumper sticker one day that said, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, I've got news for you. If the Bible says it, it's already settled. Doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. Because that's God's wisdom. Now, some of you young people, I want all of you to go to college. I want you to be great people. I want you to turn out to be doctors and everything. I started to say lawyers, but I took that one out. But I want you to turn out to be great people and wise people. But let me tell you something. Without Jesus Christ, you will never have wisdom. Worldly wisdom changes. Hebrews 4:15. Listen to this. Hebrews 4:15, if you will. Now, I said worldly wisdom changes. His wisdom does not change. Hebrews 4:15. I marked it, y'all. Okay. Hebrews 4:15. Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Did you know that His power to help never changes? Did you know there's not a sinner that ever has been, ever is being, or ever will be born that His power cannot save? Did you know there's not a saint that ever has been born, or is being born, or ever will be born that cannot be kept by the power of Jesus Christ? His power changes. It does not change. In Colossians 1:16-17, it says, by Him were all things created, and by Him all things consist. In other words, He created everything you see.
Right.
And not only did He create it, He holds it together.
Amen.
Now, if you studied science in school, and some of you did, and some of you slept through it or cut that class and was smoking in the bathroom, I know some of you. But if you took that class, you'd find out that every one of us is a billion universes. We've got these little neutrons, and we've got these little nucleuses. It's like a little universe in itself. It's got a center, you know, and then it's got these little things that rotate around them like planets rotating around the sun. And we're made up of those things, and it's they're moving all the time, and we look at it, looks still. And you ever thought about why doesn't that stuff just fly apart? Why doesn't that just stuff just take off since it's moving? We don't see it moving, but it's moving right now like little universes all in our skin and our body, our tissue. They're rotating around each other. Why don't they just fly apart and go out into outer space? Why don't we all just... And they do when you turn into dust. But why don't they happen right now? Because by Him, all things consist. He holds it together. Now the sun, the moon, Jupiter, Mars, all the planets rotate around the sun at a perfect time. They're all timed just perfect because if they wasn't, one would run into another, or the tides would be wrong, or the seasons would be wrong, or we'd freeze to death or burn up. If it just moved by a couple of seconds, things would change drastically. Why doesn't all that stuff just fly out there apart? Well, we call that gravity. Nobody knows what gravity is. Nobody knows what that is. What causes gravity? Well, you know, we got the center of the earth. Yeah, it's on fire. They call it molten rock. We call it hell. And that holds it all together. No, Jesus Christ holds it together. If He took His hand off His creation, it'd fly all to pieces and destroy itself. Amen? Amen. By Him, all things consist. By His power, He holds it together. Now, let's get more spiritual. You wasn't worth being saved.
Right. Come on now.
You hear me? You wasn't worth being saved. I wasn't worth being saved. Well, I'm a pretty good guy. You just got pride right there. You got sin right there. You just pointed it out right there. We know what's wrong with you. Amen? Well, I don't lie. You just did. You broke your record. Everybody lies sometimes. Not me. I don't lie. And your wife walks in the room and say, "What? How do you think this dress makes me look? Does it make me look fat?" How many of y'all said yeah? You liar. You liar. That bald-headed, toothless guy that you married, when you married him, he wasn't bald-headed and toothless, and he looks at you and says, "Am I handsome like I used to be?" And that wife says, "Oh, honey, you're just as handsome as you ever were." Liar. Liar. Amen. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. And by the way, you girls, I want to tell you something about men. Look at me, girls. Wake that girl up. Make her look at me back there. All right, look at me. You're going to find this cute little old boy, and you just, "Oh, he's so pretty. Look at him. He's so pretty. Look at his hair. You know his hair down here. Look, he's just so pretty. Look at those teeth. They look like ivory. He's so pretty. Those eyes. Oh, my." All right, go back and talk to his mama.
Yeah.
And by the way, look at his mom and daddy, too. He's going to turn into his mom and daddy one day. And go talk to him and say, "Was he like this when he was born?" And if now she's going to say he's beautiful, but if she was honest, she'll say, "No, he was bald-headed, toothless, and wrinkled. And naked. He come in with nothing." Well, let me tell you something. He's going out the same way he came in. Bald-headed, toothless, and naked. And wrinkled. I left off wrinkled, didn't I? Amen? Wonder why. But God Himself not only saves you and keeps you and keeps you alive, but He keeps you saved. He keeps you saved. Now, you're a sinner. You need salvation. If you've never been saved, you need to be saved. You're not going to heaven without it. Jesus didn't die for nothing. You think He's going to save everybody else and skip right over you and let you go to heaven? You didn't get saved? No, sir. No, sir. He's not going to do that. He died for you, too. You need to accept Him. But now, once you accept Him as your Savior, a lot of people think, "Now I got to hang on. I got to keep the commandments. I got to be good. I got to do this. I got to partake in that. Or I'm not going to stay saved." That's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. If He had the power to save you, don't you think He's got the power to keep you saved? Jude verse 24 says, "Now unto Him that's able to keep you and present you faultless." That's His job. When I got saved, it wasn't worth being saved. Now, He changed me and fixed me up a whole lot, but I'm still not worth being saved. Because it only takes one sin to be unworthy of heaven. One sin. How many of y'all today have not done one sin? Don't raise your hand, you'd be lying again. So he's changed us in his wisdom. He's changed us in his power. Hey, he's changed us in his holiness. He is God. He's God in the flesh. And he changes not. So you, look, a lot of people think that, well, he used to be high priest, but he's not anymore. Well, I just read it to you. He is high priest. He's the holy Lord. He's the holy God. He's thrice holy. The angels will worship him, book of Revelation, and they'll cry, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." And they'll say, "Thou art worthy." Nobody else in heaven's going to have that. Nobody's going to be told that. He's now, you listen to me. He's not the old man upstairs.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, come on.
Don't you demean the holy God to that. He's not Santa Claus. He is not. He's nothing like Santa Claus. Amen. He's not me and Jesus. We got a thing going. You ain't got no stinking thing going. He's holy, holy, holy. And you're unholy, unholy, unholy. He's holy. He's pure. He's perfect. And we are just the opposite of every bit of that.
Amen.
Now, as Christians, he didn't get less holy just because we became one of his. Amen. You thought he was holy when you got saved, but now some hippie preacher's done come along, his ripped up blue jeans, his spiked hair, and his Hawaiian shirt, and his flip-flops, and he gives you a little sermonette so you can run out to the kitchenette and smoke a cigarette, because ain't nothing but a bunch of Christianettes anyway. Listen, I'm telling you, he's holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. The church, the people that call themselves the church, have lowered his holiness. They put him on equal with man. He's not equal with man. He changes not. He's just as holy today as he was 20 billion years ago, before he ever created earth, before he ever created the heavens. He's just as holy today as he was holy that day. He changes not. And we need to reverence him. We need to reverence him. We don't need to bring him down to our level. You don't need to make your music worldly. We got quiet on that one, didn't we? You don't need to make your dress. When I go to church, I go to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I wouldn't even go to meet the President dressed any other way than this. He deserves our admiration for his holiness. I'm going into the presence of a holy God. I don't want to go in there with my Bermuda shorts on and flip-flops. I'm going to honor him. And we brought him down to the level of some man, and we're robbing him of his high and holy position. I fear God.
Amen.
I fear him as a father, not as my judge. He's not my judge anymore. Jesus fixed that on the cross. But he's my father. Now, I never had an earthly father. I don't know his name. I never met him. Don't know who he is. I lost a lot on account of that. By the way, back then, that was about 10% of the population born out of wedlock. Now it is 50% of the population is born out of wedlock. And by the way, those same people go to church every Sunday. Born out of wedlock. And I didn't know him. And I never had an earthly father. But I'll tell you this. If I had one, I'd have reverenced him. I would have honored him. And now I go to my heavenly father. Don't you think he deserves as much respect and honor and fear as your earthly father? He's holy. He's powerful. He's wise. But thank God. Thank God in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers,
nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you know He's changeless in His love? Shut the door. Did you know He's changeless in His love? His love doesn't change. He said, hey, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You say, but wait a minute, preacher, there's no but in there. There's no but in that statement. There's no exceptions in that statement. Height, depth, principalities, powers, things past, things present, things to come, or any other, he couldn't think of anything else. Any other creature. Not, that means man or woman or boy or girl or dog or cat or lion or tiger or elephant. No other creature. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. When you get in Christ Jesus, you get in the love of God and nothing can take you out. Jesus said, you're in my hand, my hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. You say, but preacher, I failed. No other creature. Nothing can separate you. But preacher, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. No, nothing can separate you. But I've got to hold on. No, nothing can separate you. But I've got to be good enough. No, nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But you don't know what I did. Doesn't matter what you did. What did He do? He died for your sins, all your sins. That day on the cross, He didn't die for the sins you committed just before you got saved. He died for the sins you're going to commit after you get saved. You say, I thought we didn't sin anymore after we get. You certainly do. That's why you need a Savior. Amen. He died for nothing if you didn't sin. Amen. Everybody sins. Now, your life ought to be different, but you're never going to meet and be the holiness of God Himself. Amen. Now, nothing will separate that from His love. Now, that means it's never ending. Man or woman will say, I love you, but it's conditional. What they mean is, I love you as long as you do what I want you to do. Or I love you as long as you return the love back to me. Or I love you as long as it's easy and it feels good. God just says, I love you. Unconditional love. There's nothing you can do, no height, no depth you can go that'll get you away from the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I told that story about that young Christian man that got put in jail from my former church this morning, Sunday school. He got put in jail. And did you know for, I think it was 6 years, God loved that boy just as much sitting in that jail as He did the day he got saved?
Amen.
And did you know it all turned out for his good in the end? Amen. Now, so Jesus Christ is changeless in His wisdom, in His holiness, in His power, in His love. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 7, if you will. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Well, let's just start with 23. It explains it better. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, in other words, he didn't die, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know what that's saying? His power, His ability to save is unchangeable. Unchangeable. What He was talking about in that passage was, we had priests, talking to the Jews, the Hebrew. We had priests, and they made daily sacrifices, and those sacrifices covered what needed to be done at that moment, but they all died. But now, we have an ever-living priest, a high priest called Jesus Christ, who will never die, and He ever liveth to make an intercession for us, and He sits on the right hand of the Father, and He's always going to be there, and that will never change. So therefore, He can save to the uttermost. In other words, no matter how far from God somebody is, this unchangeable priest, Jesus Christ, that I now have, can save me.
I like to say, from the uttermost to the guttermost. Amen?
Amen.
He can take that old fellow down there laying in his own vomit this morning, who woke up in his own vomit, drank himself into a stupor, and he woke up in his own vomit today. Jesus Christ can reach down and save that man and keep him forever. Why? Because he never changes. He's an ever-living Savior, an ever-living High Priest. They'll never die. He'll never get sick. He'll never get old. He'll never have to redo anything he's ever done. He's an ever-living Priest that can save to the uttermost.
Amen.
Now, you go down here to this church down here, on University Drive, and there's a fellow walking around with a big long black robe and a white, it all the way to the floor like a gown, and he's got this white collar thing, you know, and he's got this big old giant cross sticking out there, you know, this religious man, and at the end of his service, which nobody hardly understands, he'll offer you to come down and take this little wafer and eat it. And he'll tell you that'll save you because that turned into the body of Christ because he prayed over it. Like he's got the power to do that, you know. And then you eat that. And boy, you might go down there about 10 or 12 times and the 11th time be a different priest. And you might go down there and you might see him 10 or 15 times and he might die off and you got another priest up there. I would hate to put my dependence on my salvation on a man because a man changes and he gets old and he gets and he dies, and even if that ceremony did save you, you got to do it over and over and over and over and over and over, and you never are sure that your priest was powerful enough to save you and to keep you saved. And by the way, this week he might come out and he might give it to you. And next week he might come out and say, I've changed my mind. I'm not a man anymore. I'm a woman. Boy, what kind of priest would that be? Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I could tell some people squinching on that one. They didn't like that. Might happen. But our priest never changes. He never loses his love. He never loses his power. He never loses his holiness. He never loses his wisdom. He can save you. And Jude 24 says unto him that is able to keep you. And that's changeless. Look, I'd hate to have a religion that I knew I was saved today and then something happened I wasn't sure tomorrow. I'd hate to have a religion that said, well, you get saved by believing on Jesus and confessing to Him and asking Him to save you, but come back tomorrow and we'll tell you what else you got to do. You say it don't happen. It does. Religions all over this world does that. Amen? Well, you know, you got saved by believing on Him, but now you got to eat this wafer. Now you got to drink this wine. Then you go back next week and say, yeah, you got saved by believing on Him, by eating this wafer and drinking this wine, but you got to do it again this week. And by the way, did you get baptized in this church? Because this is the only church that can baptize you, right? If you don't get baptized here, you're going to hell. Then you go back next week. Yeah, you got saved by believing on Him. Yeah, you have to take the wafer. You got to drink the wine. Yeah, you got baptized here. But let me tell you something. Did you get married here? Because if you didn't get married in this church, you're going to hell. That's what they teach. And then you come. This Catholic down here, don't forget about confession. And then in the middle of the week, you go see that crook. That priest. And you say, I just don't feel saved. And he said, well, give me $20. I'll get behind this screen in this little dark room. You can confess all your sins to me, and I'll tell you what to do. Then finally, you're ready. Hey, you're taking your last breath. The doctor says, this is it. Call in the family. And the priest says, wait a minute. You can't die without me. I got to do the humbo mumbo. In Latin. Got to give you last rites. You're not going to be saved. I'm glad Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Amen. I'm glad He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad He said that He would save to the uttermost. I'm glad that He said that if we come unto Him, that He would keep us and present us faultless. Amen? Now, he changes not. Next week, that denomination up street might change how you got to go to heaven. The church up street from that may change just the opposite. What you got to do to go to heaven? That priest or priestess, now they got women too, and that priest or that priestess or that preacher or that preacherette, they might change next week, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ said, I'm the same today, amen, yesterday, and forever. I'm never going to change, and I change not.
Amen. Glory to God. Yes.
Glory to God. If they send a Catholic priest in my room when I'm dying, I'm going to say, have you got your Bible? He probably won't have it. But I'm going to say, if you don't get it, if you don't have it, reach over in that drawer and get mine. And he's going to say, well, I'll come to give you last rites. And I'm going to say, I want to show you the change of Christ that I believed on March the 5th, 1978. He hadn't changed his mind, and I hadn't either. I'm going to heaven. I don't need you. Would you like to know how to go to heaven?
Yeah. Amen.
See, some people have a changing Christ. Today, he says, don't do this and don't do that. If you love me, keep my commandments, because my commandments are not grievous if you love me. But tomorrow, he might change his mind and say, well, you know, I didn't really mean that. You can do this. All you got to do is get a different translation of the Bible, and it don't condemn that like that old King James Bible did. Today you may belong to a church that says holiness and righteousness is our Lord. And then next week they may say, well, you know, Jesus really had relations with Mary, or he was a homosexual. I'm glad I've got an unchanging Savior. Amen? I'll tell you something else too. I've got an unchanging Bible. That thing don't change. Why would you change it? Amen? I don't think it needs any improvement, do you? The only reason I know you would change it is if there was something in there you were living differently than what it said.
Come on.
I'm glad. He says in Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy,
right,
He saved us. The best Christian in this room, which I am not, the best Christian in this room would not go to heaven if it depended on you or anything else other than the changes of Christ. The worst person in this room can be saved simply by coming to the changes of Christ. And you, hey, listen, you can be assured He won't just save you, He will keep you.
Amen.
Why if I do this? Why if I, there's no conditions. You do whatever you want to, but I've got news for you. He's going to give you a new mind and a new heart, and you won't want to do those things.
Yes.
He's going to change your want to.
Yes, He will.
Yes, He will.
You see, we can drink all the liquor we want, we just don't want to. I was witnessing to a girl in the hospital day before yesterday. And she was sitting there crying, talking about being an addict and all this stuff. And she said she was saved. She told me when she got saved and where. I said, well, you know what's wrong? She said, what? I said, you've just not accepted the freedom that He gave you. What does that mean? I said, it means that He saved you and He gave you a new heart, a new mind, new spirit. You don't have to do those things anymore. You used to have to. You were driven by your lust of the flesh. But now you've been saved, you don't have to do drugs. You make that choice. You don't have to be, by the way, you ought not say I'm a recovering alcoholic. You ought say I'm a recovered alcoholic. I've been saved by the grace of God. He saved me. He keeps me. It's all on Him. I'm doing nothing but trusting Him. That's all I can do.
Amen.
He'll keep you saved. Now today, let me ask you, do you have that Savior? I don't mean do you have your mom and daddy's Savior. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He can be their Savior and not be yours. Just because you were born of them doesn't mean you were born saved. You must be born again. If your mama and daddy was the best Christians in the world, still, ye must be born again. You wasn't born saved. You were born lost. Do you have the Savior of the Bible that changes not? Now the world's going to change this week. our president's going to do something, the Russian president's going to do something, some Arab somewhere's going to do something, some Muslim's going to blow something up and kill a bunch of people. The world's going to change this week. But you know what? He's going to be the same.
Amen.
Religion this week will change. Some pope or some bishop or somebody in some kind of religious position with a high-sounding position name is going to step out on a little old platform and say something very deep and very profound, and he's going to change religion in the world, but Jesus Christ will change not.
Amen.
Now, unless you don't get that settled. Now, you've got to get that settled or you will never be what you ought to be until you get that settled. People say, well, I'm waiting on the rapture. No, don't wait on that. You're probably going to die before it gets here, but even if you don't, you're not going in the rapture. You say, well, then I'll get saved. No, you'll believe just like the rest of the world. It says they'll believe a lie and they'll be damned. Well, I'm going to wait till I get old. You know not what a day will bring forth. You might die tomorrow, tonight. Well, preacher, I'm going to get better first. You'll never get better.
Right.
You'll never get better. You have a sin nature. You might quit some things, but if you do, you're still going to be a dirty, rotten sinner on the inside, and you're not going to get better. You need to get born again. Have you met my Savior? He's powerful. He's holy. He's wise. He can save, and He can keep, and He'll never change. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God.